Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is good to be back in the studio with my beautiful sister Tara, studying the Word of God. What a privilege.
What a privilege. We're so blessed. And you know what? Students are so excited right now because some students, this is their first weekend of school's out.
Yeah, that would be your students.
My students. I think a couple of schools still have a couple of weeks left, but it's close, guys. It's coming close. And then I wanted to say hello to a few people that have told me in the last week or so that they've been listening to the radio show. Hi, Margie. And I wanted to say hello to Mrs. Anderson. And I wanted to say hi to Velda. And we just thank you for listening. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
You know what? We are going to be diving into the Bible study Daybreak. And I'm excited. I'm almost breathless. I'm so excited by our lesson for this month. I mean, I'm like oozingly excited. We're going to study Elijah. And I love Elijah. And I want to make sure I make that clear. It's Ja, not Sha. Elisha follows Elijah. And that'll come out in probably our last week of the session. But for today, I just wanted to open us up because then I'm going to actually story the story of Elijah. But before I do, I want us to understand that this prophet of all prophets is the prophet that in his time was not very well received. He wasn't honored. He wasn't welcomed. He kind of appears out of nowhere and then kind of goes out of nowhere. But after his death, he is the prophet that is honored the most. And I just wanted to share with you a few ways that he is actually still honored in the way he was honored back through biblical times. The first way that he is honored, like Enoch, he and Enoch are the only two that scripture gives us that they don't die. He just goes to be with the Lord. He is taken up in a chariot to heaven.
That's my prayer.
So he is given the privilege of not dying on this earth where we see it in that sense, okay? And the other way that he is honored is the day of on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. He is the one that's standing with Moses. So he gets to be there, and he's one of the people that the disciples see. The other way that he is honored in the history and the tradition of the Jewish church, and this is celebrated even today. I had spoken with some people and was asking. They will leave a door open in their home for Passover in case he wants to come in. And the other thing that they do is that at times when they have circumcisions in their home, they will have a empty chair in the room so that if the prophet would like to join them, he has an honored place in the house that will be his that nobody else is allowed to sit in.
The prophet Elijah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
I mean, still today.
Yeah. I was told that that's a tradition that's still honored, you know, if they're really honoring the tradition.
That's really cool.
I know. I thought that was so awesome. And then the other thing is, think about the Greeks named a mountain after him, Mount Elijah. And then Mendelssohn's oratorio is called Elijah. And so people are constantly still honoring this prophet. And one of my favorite current contemporary songs is These Are the Days of Elijah. Yes. I mean, I guess that's not very contemporary anymore, is it?
Well,
but it is in our lifetime been written. Okay. It's not something from 50 or 100 years ago. It's contemporary in that capacity. So this is going to be the story of Elijah. I'm going to story it. It may take our whole time today. It'll be one that will mesmerize you, but then we will go through and we will look at what we can learn from Elijah. Father, just grant me favor in storing your word. Everything in the Bible is true.
Amen.
And this is the story of Elijah, and we will cover from 1 Kings 17 all the way through about 20. Some sections I will not take because we have certain points that we want to make. So I will only story the sections that we're going to need for our teaching time. Now, there was a prophet named Elisha, and he was a Tishbite from Gilead. And he appeared before King Ahab, and he said, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be no dew or rain in this land, except for when my word says so." And then Elijah walked away from Ahab, and he went, and he hid because the Lord told him, and he went to Cherith Ravine, and that's where he went to hide. And in that ravine, every morning, ravens would come down and bring him food. Mm-hmm. And in the day, he would get his drink from the river. And at night, the ravens would come again and feed him. And he did not go without food. When all the land surrounding him, the rain stopped and the water stopped flowing. And a great drought occurred upon the land so that the people were thirsty and they were dying. They were so thirsty. Now, it came a point in time where God said, it's time for you to go, because it ended up that that river dried up. And God said, now I have provided for you in the land of Zarephath, and I want you to go there, and there will be a widow there, and this widow will take care of you. So he went to this widow, and she saw him, and he asked her for a drink, and she says, I have nothing to give you. I cannot feed you. I just have a little bit of oil left, and it's just me and my son. There's not enough for me to make enough for us. Mm. And Elijah says, it's okay. You go and make your bread. You make it for me, then your son and you. I promise you, you will not run out of the oil or the bread that you need. She did what he said, and sure enough, it never ran out for this widow in the time that Elijah stayed with her. Mm. Now, it came to pass that it was time for him to return. And in the land, King Ahab had been searching far and wide, and he was angry because over 3.5 years had passed since Elijah had come to him and said, there will be no rain in this land. And the king had all his men out searching, and there was a helper within his palace that was overseer of everything, and his name was Obadiah. And Obadiah was a believer and devout follower of God. And as King Ahab was angry with Elijah, he was killing out the prophets of God. But Obadiah hid 100 prophets of God, 50 in one cave and 50 in another. And he would take food to them. And all of a sudden, he's out there trying to find grass. With King Ahab had sent him out to find grass, Elijah appears before Obadiah. And Obadiah says, oh, is that you, Lord? And Elijah says, it is I. I want you to go to King Ahab and tell him I am here. And he said, wait a minute. Don't you know who I am? Why are you doing this to me? You know that if I go to King Ahab and I tell him that you are here, he'll kill me. He's been searching for you for 3.5 years. I mean, he's been looking for you. And you want me to go and tell him Elijah has now appeared? And he goes, do you not know what you ask? He realizes that he's in great danger. And Elijah says, it will be God's will that I will see him today. So Obadiah obeys Elijah. And he goes to King Ahab and he says, Ahab, Elijah has returned. Now, Ahab shows up and he approaches Elijah and he says, oh, you troubler of Israel, you have brought this on to us. And Elijah looks at him and he says, I am not the troubler. It's you. You, because you have taught our land and our people to worship after Baal. And he goes, there is problem in this land because your people have become where you are double-minded and you don't know if you're going to worship Baal or if you're going to worship God. But if God is God, you need to worship God. And if Baal is, worship him. But this going back and forth isn't going to happen anymore. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to get your prophets and you come and you meet me at Mount Carmel. So Ahab obeys him. He's the king of the land and he obeys the prophet of God. And he goes and he gathers all of the Baal worshipers and the Ashtaroth prophets and he gathers them together. And he has all 450 of them gathered up with the people on Mount Carmel. And as they get up on Mount Carmel, Elijah says before the people, how long will you waver between two opinions? Hmm. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if it's Baal, follow him. And he says, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I want you to have the Baal prophets go out and get two bulls. And I'm going to have them take those bulls and we'll have an offering. We'll make a sacrifice. And it's the God that burns up that offering that is the God. Mm-hmm. Well, they were so excited. They were like, this is awesome. This is great. We can do this. Mm-hmm. And so they go out and they get two bulls and they pick the best bull for themselves. And he says, go ahead, set up your altar. And they go in and they slaughter their bull and they put it on the altar and they begin early in the morning. They begin crying out to their God, crying out and asking their God to come, and nothing happens. And so they start shouting louder and they start shouting louder, mm-hmm. and nothing happens. And about midday, you can just almost see Elijah sitting there on the mountain looking out at them. He says, "Where's your God? Is he not listening? Mm-hmm. Maybe he doesn't have his ears on or something. Or maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe if you shout a little louder, he might hear you." And at this point, they get into a frenzy and they mm-hmm. begin to dance and shout and call upon their God and dance and shout, and they're calling and they're crying, and that's not working. Nothing happens. And at this point, they begin to take their knives and they begin to cut their bodies so that blood starts to flow, thinking that the sacrifice of their blood would make their God answer. Mm. And about the time of the evening sacrifice, most likely around 3 p.m, Elijah says, "Listen, listen to me. Their God's not answering. Now come with me." And he goes up and he looks at the altar and he begins to repair it. Mm. Very quietly, he sets about the administration of fixing it up, and he picks up 12 stones and he forms the altar. 12 stones laid out, and then he gathers the wood and he sacrifices the bull. And then he says, "I want you," he digs around the sacrifice, a great big ravine, and fills it up. It's enough to hold a lot of, I think it's like 2 seahs of flour, scripture says. And he digs it out and he says, "I want you to go get 4 bottles, mm-hmm. huge containers of water, and bring it up and pour it in over the sacrifice." So the guys go down and they get 4 huge jugs of water, and they come up and they pour it on top of the sacrifice, and it rolls off into the ravine around. And he says, "Go do it again." So they pick up the big water jugs and they go down and they get that water and they haul it back up and they pour it over the sacrifice, and it dribbles down and fills the ravine up some more. And he says, "I want you to do it one more time." And then they go down and they get those jugs. They fill them with the water. They come back up and they pour it up, and it fills it up so much that the sacrifice is completely saturated. And the ravine surrounding the sacrifice is filled with water. Mm. And Elijah very simply calls to God, yeah. "Our God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I call upon you this day to burn this sacrifice." And then at that moment, fire falls down from heaven and completely consumes the sacrifice. It doesn't consume just the sacrifice. It consumes everything there, including the dust. Mm. Amazing. And at this point, Elijah says, "Take every single one of these prophets of Baal and take them down and kill them." And they slaughtered all 450 on that day. 450, they slaughtered all of them because they called upon their God and it didn't work. And all the people stood around and they were amazed and they said, "Our God, that is our God. He is Lord. He is Lord." And they gather up around Elijah, and Elijah says, "He is." And then he looks at Ahab and he sends his servant and he says, "Tell Ahab that he can go." And he gets up and he starts to celebrate. And Elijah goes over and he sits, and his servant is with him, and he's looking for rain. And he starts looking in the sky and he says, "Go look." And his servant goes and looks, and he comes back and he says, "There's no rain." And he says to his servant, "Go look again." And he looks off and he comes back and he says, "There's no rain." He does this 7 times, mm-hmm. asking his servant to go and look and see if there's rain. And the servant comes back and says, "There's no rain," until the 7th time. On the 7th time, the servant comes in to him and he says, "I see a cloud about the size of a man's fist. And Elijah looks at him and says, go immediately and tell Ahab to get off this mountain before the rains come, because his chariot will not make it down. And then the Lord fell upon Elijah in such a way that he girded up his cloak and he took off running. He ran down the mountain and beat King Ahab and his chariot to the bottom of the mountain. The power of the Lord was on him. So King Ahab went to the queen Jezebel and he says, Elijah has killed the 450 prophets of Baal, and he has called down fire from heaven. And Jezebel says, before this day is out, though the Lord may deal with me severely, he will die today. And when Elijah heard what was said, he took off in flight and he ran 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 the equivalent of almost 100 miles. Until he came to a little broom tree, and he was so exhausted, so weary from his flight, that he sat down at the broom tree. He felt so alone and so afraid, and he went to sleep. And while he was sleeping, the angel of the Lord touched him and said, get up. And he looks and he sees that there is a fresh baked bread and there's water for him to drink. And as he was laying there, he said, he came to the broom tree and says, Lord, I've had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And he laid down. And that's before it showed up, the bread and the thing. And then the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him. He said, get up and eat and drink, for your journey is long. And at this point, Elijah stood up again and he took off. And this time he ran 40 days and 40 nights until he was all the way across the Jabbok River into the land where Mount Horeb is. Mm-hmm. And at Mount Horeb, that is where he finds a cave. And at this cave, he just goes in and he just sits down and he hears, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he says, Lord, I am the only one. They have killed all of your prophets. They are destroying your people. And I am the only one left. I have been jealous for you, God. And I am the only one left. And the angel of the Lord says, Elijah, come out to the entrance of the cave. And Elijah walked out to the entrance of the cave. And all of a sudden, this strong wind fell down. And the trees were moving. And he saw this wind. But the Lord was not in the wind. And then this earth began to shake as an earthquake totally racked the land. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then he saw a fire fall down and just burn. But the Lord was not in the fire. And then he hears a very gentle whisper. Elijah, what are you doing? Elijah covers his face with the mantle and he says, I have been very zealous for you, God. I have sought you, and they are out there killing the prophets of God, and I am the only one left. And God says, no, you're not. In fact, there are over 6,000 who are still on my side. Get up, and I want you to go out, and I want you to get King Hazael over Aram, the Syria area, and I want you to get Jehu, and I want him to be appointed over Israel. And then I want you to go out to Elisha and appoint him to follow in your footsteps. And Elijah got up, and he went and did exactly as the Lord said. And when he showed up at the field of Elisha, Elisha looked at him and says, what have I done to you? And he said, nothing. And he said, can I go home and tell my family before I leave? And he said, go. He ran, told his family, he sacrificed his bulls. He totally burned up the plow that he was using to plow the land, because he has totally letting go of his past to follow Elijah. And he comes up, and then he carries the mantle and begins to follow in the footsteps of Elijah. This is the story of Elisha in 1 Kings 17 through 20. You can read more in detail about what happened and how he called down fire from heaven. Thanks for listening. God bless.